1 John 1, 7-9. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not to love.
Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Free. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of Discovering the Spirit-Filled Life.
The issue of our position. The truest thing about you is what God says is true. For every Christian, what is true is the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. For every Christian, what is true, the Holy Spirit has sealed us for the day of redemption. For every Christian, the Holy Spirit has given us a brand new nature. For every Christian, the Holy Spirit positionally has set them free from sin and death and identified them with Jesus Christ. What Paul is talking about is experience. And he's saying it's possible to be missing out on the fruitful, abundant life in Jesus Christ. And if the truth were told, you're really carnal, not spiritual. But we don't have to be stuck there. We don't have to be stuck there because truth sets us free. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is that we have new life in Christ, and God's desire for us is to live an abundant and fruitful Christian life. But before we can experience that truth, we need to fully understand the problem. Why is it that the Corinthians struggled with carnality? Why is it that I struggle with carnality? Why don't I just live in the fullness and freshness and power of the Holy Spirit all the time? Why don't I just think thoughts and speak words and feel emotions and do actions of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Well, there's a problem, and he is us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 22 says this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every evil. In a passage that is throwing out in rapid fire some commands for Christian living on the front end, it's praying and rejoicing and giving thanks on the back end. It's receiving and testing and accepting prophetic truth. In between, it says, don't quench the Spirit. In other words, we can put out the fire of the Spirit's work in our life. If you've ever gone camping and you build a fire and you're packing everything up and you got the camper all loaded and the tent's in there and the kids are all in their place, one of the last things you do, you go over to where the fire is and you make sure it's out and you think it's out and you throw some dirt on it and you grab some water and you put that water in there and all of a sudden, underneath some of that ash was some live coals. But when you pour the water on it, it puts it out. That is exactly the thought in this command. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put the fire out. We can put the fire of the Spirit out in our lives, and we're commanded not to do that. In Ephesians 4:29-31, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, only what's good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. This passage says that when we speak words that are corrupt, and it's not primarily talking about dirty jokes or cussing here, I'm not trying to promote that, but that's not the context. Corrupt, unwholesome, unedifying words are words explained by verse 31. Words of anger and malice and slander and abusive speech. When we speak those kinds of words, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Not only do we rob the person we're speaking to of grace, because our words can actually impart grace, or our words can take grace away from somebody, but we grieve the Holy Spirit. So we can quench the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, "For you're still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? Are you not behaving like mere men?" When we are filled with envy and striving and dissenting with one another, we're fleshly rather than spiritual. Paul says in Romans 7:22 to 25, he says, this is what the problem is. He says, "I delight in the law of God according to the inner man, but I see another law in my members waging war against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The problem is sin in our flesh, sin in us. And as long as we're in these bodies, we're going to be dealing with this. Only in heaven do we find absolute, complete, perfect freedom. In this life, there will always be some measure of struggle. But we don't have to be victims. We can be victors. But we got to understand what it is we're fighting and how we can win the fight. We need to understand how we can experience the release and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by means of the Spirit, do what Romans 8:13 says, put to death the misdeeds of the body so we can live. There's a problem within us. And the problem's sin in the flesh. And it's evident. Because Galatians 5 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." Which are? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Whew. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand what Paul's argument here is? Paul's argument in Galatians 5 is that Christ has set us free, because he starts that off in Galatians 5:1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free, so do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." And then he talks about how you get subject to a yoke of slavery in Galatians 5. You get subject to a yoke of slavery by giving back into the flesh from what Christ has actually set you free from. And then he says here in Galatians 5, 19 and 21, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and he lists them. And then he says, why would you go back to something you've been set free from? And oh, by the way, the person who just lives in bondage to this stuff all the time is the person who's not inheriting the kingdom of God. The person who's enslaved to this stuff is the person who's never been set free in the first place. So why voluntarily step back into a struggle you've been set free from? But sin has an amazing, deceptive power, doesn't it? Hebrews 3:12 to 14 says this, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We can be deceived. We can become spiritually deceived so that we don't recognize sin as sin. We can be hardened so that we're not teachable to the freeing message of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians 6:1 says, "Be careful lest you be caught in a trespass." We can be caught. So it is possible to be born again spiritually, to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, to be a new person in Jesus Christ, to be someone, as Ephesians says, who's been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and yet to be hardened and deceived, to be caught, to be enslaved all over again. What's the problem? Why did Paul write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and says, gosh, the spiritual person is not judged by anyone, but he's able to make spiritual judgments. He actually has the mind of Christ. But gang, I couldn't even write to you as a spiritual people. I couldn't give you that kind of meat. I have to keep giving you milk. Why? Because you're carnal. And the problem is sin in us. So to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, we need to know how to deal with sin. John writes this in 1 John 1:7 and 9, telling us how to deal with sin and how to actually live in the light. John uses a little different language than Paul. Paul and Luke emphasize the whole reality of walking in the Spirit. John in his Gospel, the Gospel of John, in his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he emphasizes the same spiritual truth, but he calls it walking in the light. Walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, same principle. He says this in 1 John 1, 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is. Walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, experiencing the dynamic of Christ filling us up moment by moment means we have to confess our sins. And when we do, God's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us. See, walking in the light doesn't mean you never sin. Because John says here, if we say we don't sin, we deceive ourselves. That's just not true. Every person still struggles with sin. That's been established. So what do we do about it when we become aware of it? We need to confess it. And if we confess it, then we continue to walk in the light. Because when we confess it, we submit ourselves to God. We confess it, we agree with God. We confess it, we bring ourselves under God's authority. Confession is the Greek word homologeo. It literally means to say the same thing or to agree. When we confess our sins, we agree with God. Well, what does God say? God says it's sin. It's not a bad attitude. It's not a funk. It's not a personality quirk. It's not the baggage from a dysfunctional family. It's not a temperament type. It's sin. When we confess our sins, we agree with God and we name it as sin. Well, what else does God say? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, past, present, and future. I mean, the whole shooting match. Jesus has made full atonement for our sins. What the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. It's been paid for through Jesus Christ. We confess that and we agree with God. And what else does God say? Turn from it. Repent. So confession involves thanking God that Jesus Christ has paid for your sin and turning from it. And when we do that, we continue to walk in the light. See, we're cleansed. God cleanses us. We tend to just try to take care of the outside. God wants to take care of the inside. I remember when I was in graduate school, Don and I were dating and then we were engaged. I was going to Talbot Seminary. I was working with Campus Crusade for Christ at UCLA. I lived in the guest quarters with these folks from our church. They had a really nice house up in Santa Monica near Pacific Palisades. And they had a guest house in the back. I lived in the guest quarters. And the gal was just someone who was meticulous in cleaning everything. She used to clean her kitchen every day, completely, top to bottom, scrub everything. While I was living there, they redid the furnishings inside their kitchen. And they took the hood out from above the stove. I mean, she used to scrub this thing. I don't know how long they lived there, but she scrubbed it, you know, with cleanser every day. It was immaculate on the outside. They took that thing out. They were redoing the furnishings, and they put it on the side yard, and it tilted over on the side. And it looked immaculate on the outside, but when it tilted over on the side for a while, you know what came out of that thing? This thick, greasy sludge. Because inside, the fan had been working, pulling up all the grease over the years, and even though it was immaculate on the outside, there was all kinds of gunk on the inside. You see, we tend to try to take care of the outside so that we have a nice presenting self. Jesus Christ cleanses us from the inside completely, thoroughly of sin. And so to walk with the Lord, we need to first deal with the issue that stops us from being able to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and that's sin. And what do we need to do? We confess our sins. And what's the promise? If we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just on the outside, on the inside. Now, what else? How else do we access God's truth to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit? Well, Galatians 5:24 says this, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts." And it says, by the way, in the next verse, Galatians 5:25, "If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit." So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. What's the problem? The flesh. Sin in the flesh. So what do we need to do? We need to crucify it. Need to crucify it. What does that mean? I'm not real sure. Well, Colossians 3:5 says, Therefore, put to death immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Romans 8:13 says, by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you'll live. We need to crucify, we need to put to death the specific areas where sin manifests itself in our life. You know, it's because sin is like a cancer in our bodies that metastasizes. And it shows up in different places for different people. For some of us, it's our words. And so we need to crucify the flesh in the way our words kill other people. For others of us, it's our thought life. I mean, we look like we're really spiritual, but we have all kinds of thoughts that are corrupt and worldly and destructive. So we need to crucify the flesh as it relates to our thoughts. For others of us, it's in the area of lying and being dishonest. We need to crucify the flesh. Wherever sin rears its ugly head, we need to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, what else does the scripture say? Romans 13:13-14 says this, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Got to confess your sins. Crucify the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Don't have plan B in your mind. Okay, I got plan A, I'm going to try to walk with the Lord, and if that didn't work, I got plan B, I can still sin. I got plan A, I'm going to try to, you know, speak words of grace and encouragement to my family, but if they don't receive it, I got plan B, and I'll just scream at them. I got plan A, I'm going to try to be honest and a person of integrity and speak the truth, but if that becomes too hard, I got plan B, and I'll just start lying and covering myself. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you make no provision, no opportunity for the flesh. I love to read, and I usually am reading three or four books at the same time, and one of them is usually just some kind of novel of some sort. And I read recently, it's an older book, but by Michael Crichton, The Andromeda Strain. It's a story about how this virus comes back from space, and they isolate it in this special laboratory, and on each level of the laboratories, there's a greater security in terms of biohazards, and then the bottom level, they wear these bio suits, and they take all type of intricate care to make sure everything is sealed so that nothing, no part of the virus can get in, because if there's any tear or rip or zipper or anything that's open, that creates an opportunity for the virus to come in, and the virus instantly would kill them. Well, in a sense, we need to be putting on bio suits of the Spirit, making no opportunity for the flesh, so that we can do what Galatians 5:16 says. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So just review quickly. How is it that we move from carnality to spiritual experience? Well, you got to deal with sin in the flesh, because that's the problem. So what do? We got to confess our sins. You got to crucify the flesh. You got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And then walk in the Spirit. Step with the Spirit. Depend upon the Spirit. Rely upon the work of the Spirit in your life. One last thing. You'll have to listen real quick. What makes this real, operative, practical is a concept called spiritual breathing. Spiritual breathing is just like physical breathing. In physical breathing, you exhale. And you inhale. Only we just do it without thinking about it. We exhale, we inhale. We exhale, we inhale. We exhale. And when you exhale, you get rid of the impure. When you inhale, hopefully, supposedly, you take in the pure. Well, scripturally, we exhale when we confess our sins. We're getting rid of the impure. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we inhale when we surrender to the Holy Spirit and we ask Him to take control of our lives and to fill us. Because Jesus said in Luke 11:13, if you then be evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Just ask Him. Spiritually breathe. Whenever you become aware of sin, a thought, a word, an attitude, an action, spiritually breathe. Confess your sins and ask again to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've never applied this concept in your life, you know what? I'm going to guarantee you something. You're going to all of a sudden become aware of sin in your life that you didn't even know about. Attitudes and thoughts and words that are really sinful, and you weren't even aware of them. And if you practice spiritual breathing, at first, you know what you might be doing? You might be spiritual hyperventilating. The key is to be in fellowship with God, in relationship with God, so that the Holy Spirit is empowering and leading and guiding and producing His life in you and through you. And that means we need to surrender and ask Him to. And if that's what you want to do, then that's what I invite you right now to consider doing. To surrender your whole life to Christ and to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to take control of your life and to lead you, to make you the kind of person He wants you to be and that you want to be. As I close in prayer, I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to do in your life what only He can do.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. The Bible says there are three kinds of spiritual experiences. The natural man who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, the spiritual man who has the Holy Spirit and walks in step with the Spirit, and the carnal man who has the Holy Spirit but struggles with his flesh for the control of his life. The key is to live in fellowship with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the barrier is sin. It's sin that prevents us from experiencing the power of God's Spirit in our life. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If sin is a barrier in your life right now to experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, why not take God up on His promise? Confess your sin, thank God for the forgiveness that's in Christ, and surrender your life to Christ, asking the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in your life, and committing yourself to live a Spirit-filled life, which is the key to true happiness and peace in Christ. If that's what you want, would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank You that You died on the cross for my sins, and I confess my sins to You. And I thank You for Your forgiveness. I thank You that I'm forgiven for all of my sin, past, present, and future. And I want to walk in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Jesus, You promised this. If I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit if I ask Him? And I take You at Your word. Holy Spirit, fill me and take control of my life. I want to walk in Your power and live in Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth that changes lives. The cross.